They're known as some of the original recyclers. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association is a sponsor of the Business News Hour. With members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, delivering ag parts to farmers and ranchers. NTPDA.com.
Welcome back to Inside on Business, the News Hour. Grateful that you are listening from wherever on the planet you happen to be. With me is a returning guest. It's been several years, but Patrick Palmer is known far and wide in the state of Iowa and perhaps even other places as the computer guy. And he's got this interesting business, but I've learned so much about what he does, and it's not just computers. Patrick, welcome to the Business News Hour. Good to see you, my friend.
Hey, it's great to be back and great to be back on the air.
You know, one of the things, and for full transparency, this is the first person-to-person interview where you're sitting in a studio with me that I've done since March of last year.
That's incredible. I mean, it's just, that's the change we've had to make, and luckily for you and a lot of others, people have adapted to it.
Yeah, well, and it works. You know, we do a lot of these via Zoom audio, but this is an opportunity for you and I to actually sit in the same studio and have this conversation. So I'm pleased that you are making the time to do this. Patrick, you've been in business now for quite some time. You live in Hampton, Iowa. Population what?
4,280.
Okay. And you're known as the computer guy. Been doing this how long?
This will be a 2021 will be our 25th year, my 25th year.
25. How did you get started?
You know, in 1980, my dad brought home a TRS-80 computer, and hooked it up. My dad says, I bet you $10 you can't make that work. Well, I made it work. And so what we did with it, he worked for a cement plant, a ready-mix cement company called Weldon's out of Iowa Falls, and they had a plant in Hampton, and a couple of the guys didn't know how to use a slide rule to figure the batch of concrete. A batch of concrete is just a recipe like chocolate chip cookies.
Sure.
So you have so much water, and you have so much cement, so much gravel, so much sand. There are a couple chemicals that go into that, and if it's below 32 degrees, you have a couple more chemicals that go into that. So we sat down, and because they couldn't figure out the slide rule, we got this computer and wrote a recipe for concrete that everybody could use. You typed in how many yards you needed, anywhere from a quarter of a yard to 8 3/4 of a yard. Nine yards of concrete puts a ready-mix truck over the limit, so it couldn't go over nine. So, and then from there, it would bring up the calculation of how much water, sand, gravel.
Hey, and you wrote this code?
My dad and I and another guy, all three of us got together and wrote this code.
Had you ever done anything like this before?
No. But I was 14, and I thought, oh, what the heck?
Give it a shot, huh?
Yeah. And so we promptly didn't do anything with it. We didn't sell it. We just used it in Hampton, Iowa at the ReadyMix plant.
I'll be darned.
And from then on, the state inspectors would just come in and copy off the screen.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even do anything else, just copy the numbers off the screen, and that was it.
Fabulous. And so this, from getting the old Texas Instrument things rolling and also with writing some code, that's amazing, you kind of got hooked on this computer thing, yeah?
Right. And when I was a senior in high school, 82, 83, I wrote a basketball statistics program. And, of course, I didn't do anything with that either. I kept that to myself, and I didn't sell it. And so, anyway, the coach, I was a manager on the team, and that was how it worked.
Wow. So let's fast forward now 25 years later, and I have learned something about you today that I did not know. You have been involved in all manner of fixing things that are electronic,
right?
Not just computers.
Right. And actually, you know, that was in 83 when I did all that for the high school and with my dad in 80. And I never even started my business until 96.
Wow.
And so anyway, 25 years from there.
And so you're doing computers, installation, updates, helping people with social media, at least getting them to understand what it is and how to utilize Facebook. But also repairing televisions.
Yep, I do warranty repair work for Samsung, Vizio, all the major brands. And then, of course, somebody will say, My TV went out. I don't know. It doesn't turn on. So I'll go over to their house, give them a quote, and I can fix that too.
Wow.
If they've thrown the Wii controller through it, I can't help them.
it's out, right?
But that's what this another thing this pandemic has brought to us is, and not everybody's gifted it at technology, and I accept that with open arms, and it makes some people feel bad. I don't want anybody to feel bad. Because some of this stuff is just advanced, and with the pandemic has advanced quickly.
Yeah.
You know, getting grandma a webcam didn't happen last 2 years ago. Everybody who had to stay home and work from home realized their printer was junk. So there was a nationwide decent printer shortage.
Right.
Sure, you could go and get yourself the $69 model, and then be disappointed with the ink cost $75 a pop, and then it wouldn't work, and anybody get clogged up.
So I'm guessing from what you're telling me is that you are also a resource for individuals and businesses when they say, hey, we are having this issue, or this issue, or we're thinking about upgrading our system. You're the guy.
Right, you bet. And a number of people have done this as well during the pandemic. I remember working with our church is one of them, a couple of local bars and restaurants around my area. You know, they had to be shut down, right, but they did get some money. And they'd always talked about doing a new POS system. Well, the best time to put in a new POS system was when you don't have any customers to use it. You can take all day. You don't have to worry about dodging through lunch and or dodging around the supper hour,
right,
and you can just do it.
So you've been helping businesses upgrade their POS.
Right, yeah.
Point of sale,
yep,
software. Our guest is Patrick Palmer, ladies and gentlemen. He is known as the computer guy. And while this may seem hyper-local here, because he's in Iowa and he's in the little town of Hampton, which is in north-central Iowa, you also do all this work remotely as well. So you can really work with anybody. Yeah?
Right. Yep. I've had people that have gone on vacation to Italy and had a computer problem and logged into their computer in Italy and gotten something fixed up. And
fascinating.
All over. Yeah. It's just been great.
I'm going to ask you a couple of questions that may be hot on the mind of anybody that is out there, business owners or individuals. Tell us a little bit about computer technology as it stands today, Patrick. What if somebody's thinking about upgrading, and I know that many have upgraded during the pandemic because, as you said, some folks got some money, and there's some stimulus checks that are rolling out right now, as a matter of fact. What should people look for if they're upgrading, if you will, for their business or their personal use? What should they be looking for in a computer?
There'll be salespeople out there that will say, this is just right for you. And if they say that, I would try and buy the next model up.
Huh.
Because you're buying for the future. If nothing else this pandemic has taught us is how poor our equipment was and how we've had to wait. And, you know, when you're in an office and you can turn your computer on, you walk and get a cup of coffee or go to the break room or whatever your computer is on, that's one thing. But when the only other place you have to go is back to the bedroom to make the bed or whatever,
right,
you know, working from home, it can seem like an eternity for the computer to turn on or do
anything.
Isn't
that the truth? Yeah, and because you're talking to a person that's been through that, where the computers have gotten old and they've just gotten, you know, slowed down, and they just can't handle it. So time is money.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're waiting for things to boot up, or if you're waiting for, you know, things to load, it can really be, well, it's frustrating.
Right.
Yeah. Patrick, so to that end, you said buy the next, whatever you can afford that's better. Are there components, are there things about computers now that weren't there maybe 5-10 years ago that you would say, okay, something with a solid state drive and all, what's all that about?
Right. The solid state drive is just like a flash drive, and it's just data is stored there electronically. There's no spinning parts on that. There's no spinning wheel. If we remember back in our old radio days,
right,
where you would put a 45 record on the turntable, it spun at 45 RPMs.
Right.
Now these hard drives in the computer spin at 7,200 RPMs.
Why?
And you bump a laptop, or you nudge something or kick the cat and the cat jumps off the computer and it jars it, That just got jarred at 7,200 RPMs, and it could put a little bit of a scuff on the hard drive, and then the next thing you know, your hard drive's going to go bad. Now, the bit of advice I have for folks who jump on the SSD or solid-state drive bandwagon is data recovery is pretty tough. So you better have a solid backup plan like a Backblaze or a Carbonite or some other method just in case that goes south.
Ken, would you? There are these things called Carbonite out there, and I happen to subscribe to one. No, I don't get anything for telling you that. But can you also utilize a large backup disk? Does that work?
I've seen, with all best intentions, they work. But when it comes right down to it, oh, yeah, I forgot to do that last week, or I unplugged that because I needed it for something else. It never got plugged back in.
Yep.
The computer says every Sunday it should back up, but it just didn't because the disk is full. You know,
Patrick Palmer is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He is the computer guy. You got questions for him. We will, by the way, have links to his website up on the radio blog, so you'll be able to learn more about Patrick and what he does. What has changed as far as your customers, Patrick, over the years? What are they now doing? Let me just lead you a bit here, because earlier we were talking about cutting the cord. There's, you know, Mediacom or CenturyLink or whomever you happen to have, whatever services that you have, continues DirecTV, all getting very expensive.
Right.
What are folks doing?
They're, as a matter of fact, I was talking to and seeing on Osage Mutual Utilities, Osage Municipal Utilities.
And this is in Osage, Iowa.
Osage, Iowa.
Population what?
Oh, 2,000, 2,500.
Yeah, so it's another one of these privately owned telecom?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
We're not carrying cable anymore. Wow. Here, we have unlimited bandwidth for no data caps for streaming. This is how you will do it, or we'll help you go with another service. They do not offer cable anymore. Their prices were getting outrageous. Here's small town honesty. They felt guilty about the charges that they had to pass along.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they said we're out of the cable TV business.
Yep.
You know, there's been a number of telecoms out there, and I always seem to reference my friends in Jefferson, Iowa, population of about 5,000, that the entire city now is wired for fiber. And we're seeing that happen in many small towns where there is a private telecom in that town. They're taking the hit. They're putting it out there because if you go to some of the big guns, they're going to say, well, you know, we're not going to be able to service just 4,000 people or 5,000 people. It's not functionally, it's not lucrative enough for us. So, yeah, go ahead and do this. Are you seeing that in other places?
Rockwell Mutual is in Hampton doing fiber. And not to be outdone, I believe CenturyLink is doing fiber.
Really?
But it took the small guy, the little guy, initiative.
Right. Right. And then once the big guns, like CenturyLink, they see this going on, they're going, well, wait a minute, we could lose some customers here to the local telecom. Fascinating stuff. Everything is changing. What do you see in the future, Patrick? Last question for you. What do you see in the future as far as where we're going with, you know, work from home and telecommuting and all of these things that we've been into for the past 10 months or so?
The weirdest thing, the weirdest job I've had in the last 2 months is I had to go to a Wendy's to hook a Coke machine back up to the internet.
A Coke machine?
One of those freestyle Coke machines. You can have a diet cherry vanilla rainbow Dr. Pepper. And they are connected to the internet.
The Internet of Things has even come back to the pop machine.
Yep. So other than, you remember you went down to the drugstore for a cherry Coke. Well, you didn't have the internet there, but you have the internet if you want a cherry Coke at any of those freestyle machines. It's hooked to the internet.
It's amazing. It really is. Patrick Palmer is his name. He's the computer guy. We will have links up on the website for that. And one of the things that we didn't talk about, and I said last question, and I mean that, so I'm not going to, well, maybe I'll ask you a question. I often lie like that. You and I have another thing in common, not just social media, not just marketing, not just electronics, not just some very familiar friends that we both share, but you also spent some time behind a microphone in the world of broadcasting, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, from 83 to 2000.
Wow.
And someone says, why'd you quit? I said, I got tired of reading the weather.
Well, not only that, but one of the things both you and I had the luxury of doing when we were on terrestrial radio, we worked for standalone individuals who owned that radio station, not some corporate entity that you couldn't walk into their office and have a conversation.
Right.
Such a different time.
Yeah, eons ago.
Eons ago. Someday we'll just have to trade radio stories.
There you go.
All right. Patrick Palmer is his name, ladies and gentlemen. He is also known as the Computer Guy. We will have links to his website up on the radio blog. Patrick, thanks so much for spending time with us.
Thank you.
Once again, that is the voice of Patrick Palmer, the Computer Guy. In a first for us for months, it was a sit-down interview in the studio. So proud to be able to do that. First one of 2021 with Patrick. And yes, we will have links to the Computer Guy's website on our radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today's edition. Thanks so very much for listening. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For those folks and for Patrick Palmer, my name's Michael Libby. Have a good evening. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.